Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Aramar Tefio on blogtalkradio.com. The views expressed here are not necessarily those of all hosts, guests, or producers, and the show is for a mature audience. Good evening. Welcome to Gather Round. I'm Ruth Anna Martefio, Ra, and we've got Monique Johnson with us tonight. We have a returning guest, Bilal Marcus, and we will also have a new guest, Ipoh Alharit from Indonesia. And we're going to wind up with Sri Jacobson speaking about what's going on in Palestine and Israel. So let us just cut right to it. Monique, hello, hello. It's been a few weeks. It's good to be back.
Hello, yes. It's so nice to hear that you had a wonderful time out. I was so intent listening. I was like, hold on, where to go? But it is very nice to be back. It's nice to have you back as well.
Yeah, we were just talking before the show. My cousin and brother and I went to Yag Saddam Ashram in West Chicago to celebrate Diwali. And it's a lovely place with lovely people. If we were closer to it, I'd be doing yoga out there. It's just a lovely setting, woods and everything. So I know people who are going to make it to Texas for your retreat are going to have a real treat, too. It's just good to get away and get into it. Yeah.
Yes, I love the feel out in nature, and it's so you being able to get that from in that area and for a good extended amount of time. It just for me, it's like no one can have a bad day in nature. You know?
Exactly.
Have a bad attitude while you're walking down a nature trail. Eventually, that attitude is going to change to good.
Yeah. You would have a real a lot of issues if you had a bad day walking down a beautiful nature trail. Yeah.
Yes. You know. And one of the first executives that I coached, and it's been, I guess, probably 10, 15 years ago, and she would call me up sometimes during her mental emergencies. Eventually, they became less and less, and she no longer had them, but at first, she'd call me up. One of the things that I would love to tell her, just a quick, like, boom, and she'd click out of whatever she was in her mental state, because a lot of times she'd be in the midst of driving when she would do this.
Oh, my God.
And I'd tell her to pull over and to, instead of looking down and instead of looking at the road and instead of looking out, pull the car over and look up. And if she could focus on something that was of nature, because, of course, when she was driving around and going from appointment to appointment and getting in this place in her space in her head, all, she can't connect to anything that is natural, anything that is, you know, of nature. And so when I would tell her to look up and she actually could see a cloud and just to focus on that and to breathe deep, it would take her 60 seconds and she was in a different mindset. So it's like it is amazing what nature can do for its fellow nature beings, which is what we are, you know.
We are. For sure.
So, I guess that's what the tea talk is about today.
Okay, then.
yes. That was, as I plan my retreats, like I mentioned, I am very aware of how much can a person come to them and actually just experience nature. Like if they don't want to see or hear or talk to me at all, if they went and just said, hey, I got my journal and I got my teacup and I'm only going in to eat, you know, how much could that be a retreat for them? And that is, I mean, natural settings and getting back to nature and breathing and just removing oneself from the concrete world of it all, whether that's mental or physical, it can be so replenishing and so rejuvenating. And that's why I end up going to a lot of these facilities as well as many times as I can through the year, not just for the business side of it and the research and all of that, but because it replenishes my soul. Mm-hmm. And anything that you find in life that is one-on-one, that can be that you can reach out to at any time and that replenishes your soul, that is one of the major tools, life tools in your toolbox, you know, because we all get to points that, and I know I do, and all I can say is for everybody else I've ever known.
Yeah.
But there could be some that this doesn't apply to. But we all get in states where we need rejuvenation and we need replenishment from a space that we can be in full openness of receiving, because a lot of times ones who are even conscious of needing replenishment, a lot of times they're givers. So even if we're true givers and we kind of only have that hat that we wear, because I have been in that spot to myself, I had to learn how to receive. I had to learn how to be in the conscious moment of opening up and receiving. And a lot of times for people who are constantly in the giving mode, then nature is the way that they can do that, that, you know, just take a book or a teacup or, you know, and find a seat out by, we have water at our retreat, a lake out there, and just find a seat out to where you can look at just the calm water, mm-hmm. and just be in that spot and in that moment with nothing to do and no one to be, and just to breathe. And it is an amazing it is an amazing gift one can give themselves. And, you know, not everybody can come to Texas and have me love on them at the retreat.
Unfortunately, yeah, you're right.
Right. And so if that is, you know, for anyone who's listening, if that is your truth and that's not something that you can do, or you don't want a hug from me anyway or whatever, then, I mean, it takes nothing to just go outside the back door to have a chair or a towel. And this is what I would do when I would get to where, you know, because a lot of times I work intensely behind the scenes. And sometimes I can get into this work crevice, what I call it. It's as if I can't see up anymore. All I can see is forward, backwards, and down. It's as if I can't see up. And for me, up is where expansion is. So I would actually I would get a blanket, and sometimes it would be freezing cold because sometimes it happens in the wintertime. And I would get a blanket, and I would just lay the blanket in the backyard, and I would just lay on it and just look up at the sky and just breathe.
Yeah.
And I would observe the words that are in my mind, because I can't, you know, sometimes it's very hard to just click the words off in the mind. If you practice yoga nidra and stuff like that, and you get to where you find the switch and you can just flip that switch when you need it. But for if you haven't, you know, found that switch, it can be very hard to stop the words in the mind. So we don't even, in that kind of moment, you don't even need to focus on stopping the words. All you got to do is step back from the words. Then you see the words. You become the observer of the words. So you're not wrapped up in the story of the meaning of the words. You're just observing that the mind is playing with itself as if it's, you know, a two-year-old and, you know, with a little ball that's round bouncing the ball. And so you get you know, you get as close to an effect of a quiet mind as you can get when you do that, because you are no longer participating in the active energy of the mind. You're just observing it. So that is one of the a good life tool to have in your pocket as well. And I tell everybody, if it is at all possible, twice a year, go somewhere. Get out of your town if you can't get out of your state. For people who can't get out of the country, you know, to expand and to take the focus away from what you focus on every day, because a lot of times that what makes us walking zombies. And, you know, it's like I have the schedule I go by every day, and then every weekend it's like every other weekend, and every month it's like the month before, you know. And so we get in these rote lives. And then especially if you're kind of happy in your rote life, so then you can kind of find, and what I have found in my life that has happened if I'm not conscious, if I'm not awake, is that I'll get in these little rote crevices, and I'm happy while I'm in them, but it's gradually dulling my energy to a lesser and a lesser amount. And for me, for my consciousness, that's when I know, oh, I'm going to take a nap.
Yes.
So I'm walking around in life, getting everything done that I need to get done, meeting all my deadlines, answering the phone, opening the mail, but I'm doing it in a state of nap, because there is nothing that is energized or feeding the, there's nothing keeping the energy going. And so I just become a zombie until something changes, because the only way to make that different, for me, what I've learned and what is my truth, is that the only way to make something different is to change at least one component. If you don't change anything, it's going to remain the same. Find one component to change, and hopefully it's a major component. And for me, that's one of the reasons why I travel a lot, because it's just, it's very easy for me to change a component when just get out of town, you know.
Exactly. But it's a different perspective.
Yes, and for me, when I say those crevices, I love the word you just used. It is a perspective. It is a way of doing, a way of looking, a way of living life that has become so rote for me. It is a crevice. So yeah, getting out of town, and for people who are like, hey, I can't afford that, go in your backyard and experience outside in a different way, from a different mindset. You are changing when you change your mindset in the way that you look at a thing. That's a major change right there. If you can't change the physical environment, change the way you experience the physical environment by changing your mind.
Yeah. That's the mind change or the attitude change.
Yes.
You're coming at it in a different manner.
And you're experiencing it from a different way, you know, and those perspectives. It's like those are the glasses. Put on a different perspective. Go outside with wonder. Go outside looking at the grass instead of just walking on it as if it's just, you know, it's something that's always been there and always will be there. Look up at the sky and actually see the individual clouds. And not have the mind be so active that it's kind of clouded over even how you see things, because, you know, sometimes we don't even see people anymore. And I'll find that to be true if I'm so busy-minded or busy in my life that I don't see people anymore. I'll go to the grocery, I'll go here, I'll go there, get home, and I haven't seen anyone. I mean, I've interacted and I've done what I've done, but I haven't seen them. So it's like you can just have the intention for the next hour of my day, I am going to keep my awareness connected to my eyes. And that can be a major change on how you experience life. And so and being in the flow and keeping the energy up, but change is a great part of, you know. So I'm so encouraged by, you know, you going, getting some time away and yeah. And I tell the students, the ones that I work with at the addiction center, I'll be like, you know, don't be getting attached. Because just as soon as you think I'm going to be here every day for, you know, every work day for a month, I'm going to be gone. So,
yeah,
you know,
right.
Always be open to change, you know.
Yeah.
Change is the nature of life. So, it's a yes. So, I am very happy you got away, and I am... I'm going to do my little plug.
By all means, please.
My husband be like, don't forget, because I'll just be on. I'd be like, hey, thank you. It was so good talking to y'all. But, yeah, so I am still, we are narrowing down some of the, we have some corporate sponsorships that we're going to be doing and having taste-fits. Which are events to where we show some new products because I love to eat.
Yeah.
Quite often we go to the fancy food shows in San Francisco and New York every year. And so if I find products that I really like, I try to talk to them and bring them back. So we're finalized on that. Please look at the website for that. We got our three sponsors in line. We're going to have a Thai spa as well. We always help you.
Excellent.
Yes. Oh, if you have never had a Thai massage, Thai body massage, a professional.
I've only heard of them.
Oh, my goodness. It is, and you know, I go everywhere, and I get as many. I love creature comforts, so I'm a girl that would go to a fire any country. But the Thai's way of having the massage is my very favorite from every culture that I ever had. In the way that we do it, we do it to where we're even helping to coach the deep breath. And helping to relieve the clutter of the mind. And it's the one modality that I found has consistently quieted my mind every time I get one of the Thai massages. So, and it's done fully clothed, and, you know, the practitioner will take you through stretches and help you to breathe deep and stuff, and it's done,
mm-hmm.
you know, on a mat on the floor. So it's beautiful. So if you've never had one and if you're coming to the retreat, book early.
All right.
So that's January 22nd through the 25th. You can have a 3-day or a 5-day. We have a culinary team that's there to cook, and I'm just going to try my best to wine, dine, and help everyone to feel relaxed and rejuvenated. So hopefully we'll see you there. You can find the information. HealthyMovementsInternational.com. And I'll be putting some discounts on there, too, because I'd love to give an incentive. So, Miss Ruthanne, thank you so much for having me on the show and for talking with me today.
it was wonderful. So thank you, Monique. It's really good to be back. So
thank
we'll see
you.
You.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Now we have Fidel Marcus with us, and I'm trying to get him in here. Okay. Hi, Bill.
Hi. Hello. Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine. I think that Epo may have dropped. I'm not sure. I had him on before the show.
Okay.
And then I asked him to mute himself. So,
okay.
Epol, are you there?
I am here.
Ah, you are. Okay. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Okay.
Well,
okay.
For some of our listeners who don't know, Bilal has been here several times talking about Miracle Comeback.
Yeah.
Why don't you just briefly explain that for people who haven't heard the story.
Okay. You want me to? I'll start back at the beginning, like I usually do, just like you said, for first-time listeners.
Yeah.
Okay. Back August of 2009, my two boys, Elijah and Rashid, were involved in gang activities. And me being a single father, I tried to do everything possible to keep them off the streets, which was virtually impossible because at the time I didn't have a vehicle. I had to work, and I couldn't watch them all the time.
Right.
So when I moved to a decent area, which was like 4 miles, 5 miles from where we moved from, where the gang activity took place, the very next day, which was August 3rd, 2009, my son said they were going for a bike ride, Rashid and Elijah, and I thought they were taking a bike ride around the area where we just moved to, but they actually rode it back to where the gangs were. And from that point on, I was searching for them by bus because I didn't have a vehicle. And when I did, I caught up to my older boy at the library around like 4:30 or something like that, and I asked him to go find Rashid. And he said he was going to go find them, but actually they had disappeared again. So I caught up to them. They disappeared, and I couldn't find them after that. So I went back to my new place waiting for them, and they never showed up. And then around 11:30, my son Elijah started yelling out the window upstairs that emergency, emergency. You know, and I ran downstairs, and he had told me he had come pick me up with a friend's mom, gave him a ride there. That when we were riding, he was telling me what happened. He said that Rashid was run over by two trucks while on his bicycle, and he didn't know if he was alive or dead. And that's pretty much what started this whole thing. He did survive. He did survive and actually lost one kidney, half his liver, broke his pelvis, crushed one lung, and lost 46 pints of blood through surgery. And that's what started everything, because he did survive. And 46 Pints, we had a song made that you played on here before. And
right.
Elvis Town Black Wolf.
Yes.
And then Golden Door, which is also by Elvis Town Black Wolf. And now we got Ipoh in Indonesia, who made a song called Power of Hope in English. And please forgive me, Ipoh, if you could hear me. The one that you made in Bahasa, I can't say the name. But it made it the same song in both languages, which is
right.
Really cool. And it's
right.
A cappella, too. So it sounds like music, but actually there's no music, but singing. They were inspired by Boys to Men, which used to be a New Edition. So their sound is similar to Boys to Men.
Right, right.
And
I mean,
he sings about Rashid.
I wanted to ask Ipoh how he heard about the miracle comeback.
Ipoh, are you there?
Yeah.
How did you first hear about?
Oh yeah. First time I heard about my record comeback is from a friend in person who said recently. His name is Mary Taylor, so I thank him very much to make me know about Rashid Marquis and Dylan and the record comeback and welcome too. So I opened the website marriedcomeback.com and read some story about Rashid and his partner Bilal Marquis, and I truly inspired to his story and the miracle, and it made me believe that miracle is everywhere when I believe. And I decided to know one more about miracle comeback, and finally, Bilal Marquis gave me two songs, 46 Points by Elvis Presley and Golden Door by Black Wolf, and I heard those songs, and I played in my radio station right here in Indonesia, and I decided to join because Bilal Marquis offered me to join the Miracle Comeback by made songs in English and Bahasa Indonesia. In English, I wrote The Power of Hope, and in Indonesia, I made Kekuatan Harapan as the Indonesian of The Power of Hope. And me and my bands on the Ziad Nasheed decided to sing two songs inspired by Rashid Marquez, and we record, and finally we made two songs about Rashid Marquez dedicated to MiracleComeback.com. It exactly made us really happy, and exactly made us so inspired by the story of Rashid Marquez.
Well, I'm still amazed that, you know, you are there and you heard about this. And of course, mm-hmm. now when we started out talking, Bilal was talking about when this all happened and he was a single father. However, mm-hmm. he now is married to a lady from Indonesia. So,
yes.
So maybe that he took the word to Indonesia for sure. And I'd like to play the song right now in English, if that's okay with you, and later we'll do the other. So here is The Power of Hope, written by Ipol Alharet, and the group is called, and I'm going to try, Dizayad Nasheed, something like that. So this is The Power of Hope.
Dizayad Nasheed.
My praises to Allah. Give me this lovely miracle and give me this second change. Give me my praise, friends. So I'm here to tell you stories that will make you new. My father, how did I survive this fight? after my Bashika Bash.
We dedicate this song, The Power of Hope, to my friend Rashid Marquis in America, who survived what many call a miracle after being run over by two trucks while on his bicycle. And thanks to Allah, he survived and is doing great today. Alhamdulillah.
That's wonderful. I know that all of you, your faith plays a big part in this. I don't know. It's like, Bilal, have you just been traveling around the Muslim world spreading the word, it seems like? Because
it's sad. I'm getting more help outside the U.S.
I know, because, well, we talked before, there's a young man in Uganda who's doing blood drive.
Ferris Banks he made a big banner with his friend called Miracle Comeback Uganda, and Epal, I'm so glad, has become friends with him, too, because
wonderful.
It seems like they're in it for the long run. They really want to help out.
Yeah. Well, and now you recently made contact, or someone in Nigeria made contact with you.
Yeah, we've been talking for about a couple of years, and he, out of nowhere, said he wants to do something for this. Yeah, so this is he's a student also, like the Ferris and people, you know, just young guys, you know, they want to do something, and I'm glad they stuck with me, because whatever they do to help me, I'm definitely going to promote them to the end of the time.
Exactly. And, well, Epol's group, I mean, I think they're amazing. Acapella is...
Oh, my gosh. Yes, they are. They are.
Epol, tell your guys, you really are amazing. How are you, what are you doing there in Indonesia? I mean, are you, where do you play? Not play, where do you sing?
I'm a student in Indonesia.
Right. So you're a student, so you're not doing a lot of music right now?
I am a student, and I am trying to be a musician, just like...
mm-hmm.
I think that music is one of many ways to spread my message to the world, I think, inshallah. And music is the way, the best way for me to spread all what I think about freedom and justice and anything and anything. And music is my friend. So I'm a student, and I'm trying to be a musician too, just like that.
Yeah.
It is just hobby, and I hope that it could be really wonderful when I need to spread my message through music. It's wonderful.
Well, I think it's wonderful that you have the talent, and so that you can use your talent in this way to spread the message. I find that just great. And I wanted to ask Bilal, we had talked before about a more of a local blood drive. How is that coming?
I got put on hold because of my I might as well tell you. My wife's pregnant.
Ah. Well, like, I'm surprised. Honestly, man. You just yep. Okay, she's a beautiful.
So I got,
yeah.
She's a little sick right now, so she's keeping me busy.
Okay, so
no,
you get it,
but the blood dries. I gotta get over there. The weather's been really cold and things like that, but I just wanted to get the song situated too, and we have before, and I'm gonna bring them to the blood drive too, and let them hear them, and hopefully play them at the blood drives, and let them know about Ferris Banks in Uganda, and try to get something big going. They're waiting. It's just a matter of me organizing myself.
Right. So,
and I also
well,
have big plans with Rashid, too, possibly maybe getting taught, you know, some, maybe by Elvis. Maybe Elvis can get him in the studio in the future and do a song thanking mm-hmm. everybody. And possibly maybe Epo would be involved in this, too, because his music style and Elvis, you know, I think they can go really good together. And have Rashid in it, I think, would really be something big.
I think that's a great idea because so much is being done because of what happened with Rashid, and it would be really good for him to thank people that way. So
yes.
that's a good idea. Tell us about the book.
Yeah, the book, well, that's another thing. I got like 1,000 things, and I feel like I'm alone sometimes, but I'm really not. I got the book at the publisher, but we're working on that right now. But I think I'm also going to get it, you know, like get it as a book, but that's just going to, it's just costly right now. So I
yeah.
think in a next month, within the next month, my artist is going to help me put it online so people could actually buy it online a lot cheaper where they could read it online. People do
okay.
that, I guess. I didn't know that people are reading books
right,
online.
Right, right. E-books, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
and
I think it'll be, this book will be easy to read because it's not like a big book. It's a children's book, and I think kids like computers, so this actually might be a better way to sell it cheap and worldwide.
Yeah, right, because even though things are, well, the world is so small now, but still, shipping actual books can be expensive. Well, I mean, not exorbitant, but it can cost some money, and you have to add that on to the cost. So I know a lot of people do e-books quite a bit. I personally, I like having a book in my hand. But that's me.
Yes.
You know, but I think that as a another option, ebooks are excellent. So, well.
I definitely want at least people, I think in the U.S., you know, will find it easier once I get them out where they can easily buy them from me.
Yes.
I just want to give people, you know, because our money, you know, money is a little different overseas. I mean, people,
yes.
what we have, people can't afford. So, you know,
right,
buying a
right.
book for $3, you know, e-book, like $3 or $4 would be a lot cheaper than buying one in person for $10.
Yes, yeah, that's true. And, but I would say that it would be good at the blood drive to have the actual hard copy.
Yes.
Whether that's the blood drive here or in Uganda or Nigeria, wherever.
Yes.
Some copies would be good. I'm so impressed with what you're doing. And just a few years ago, because the accident happened, like you said, in August of 2009. And before
yes.
that, you had no idea, I think, that you would be, you know, working with musicians in different parts of the world, that you would be spreading this message, doing a book, going to Indonesia, finding this beautiful woman and bringing her back here. It's funny what a few years can do, isn't it?
Yeah, it's funny what one thing can turn out to be. I mean, I mean, I've never had such good. I mean, I used to have like one or two good friends, you know, that I can count on. It's like I have like 12 people, you know, that I consider good friends, you know, that I can really count on since this accident, since what happened to my son.
Yeah, I think it's wonderful because the thing is, though, you were open to it. You hadn't closed yourself off. So when it happened and things started falling in place and, you know, this person introduced you to that person, you were open to it all.
Yes.
And
especially when people come up to me and say, this is a good idea, that motivates me. What you're doing is good. I want to join. I mean, that, to me, is like, wow. I mean, I just can't believe, you know, I've always wanted to do something, and I feel like I'm finally doing something that other people like, you know, and it's not like, I don't know. I think at the beginning people were like, no, don't do this. You can never do this. And that's what motivates me more, even when people tell you can't do something.
Right. Right. Because and many times those people are people who just don't have the energy or the mindset to do it themselves. And there's a little bit of jealousy going on there, too. And
I felt that. I felt that, too. Or yeah.
Yeah. So it's great that you are you know, getting past that. And now I realize your wife is going through the morning sickness now, but she has been a big help.
Oh, yeah, I couldn't do this without her. She's actually, like I said, even when she was in Indonesia,
yeah.
I mean, she was the one that was promoting everything. She was, I mean, just helping me correct stuff. She was translating stuff. It was just, you know, I can't think of everything right now, but, yeah, she was just that support of my wife being on my side.
Yes.
She didn't even have to type one letter for me. I mean, just for her to motivate me and push me and say, you're doing good. Just do this. Stay with this person. Do this. Blood drive. Come on. Where's your next blood drive? Pushing me. You know what I mean? Just that that companionship and, you know, for the first time in my life, you know, and having, you know, her on my side.
Yeah.
And other people who are against me.
So, no, I mean, it everything has just fallen into place. And that doesn't mean that there's not going to be some trials and tribulations ahead, but having reached this much success, you know that you're going to reach more. And I like the way it's working because just like with the band, the EPOL, and then back with Elvis too, you know, they're helping you and you're helping them. And you're helping
yeah.
them spread their message more and become more well-known. And they're helping
mm-hmm.
you, so... It's a win-win all around.
Yes. I'm actually, you know, sometimes I get mad at myself because I'm not where I want to be with it, but I haven't given up. And that's the thing. They're still there.
Yeah.
And I know, you know, there's bumps and stuff like this. You know, I got work, and I do a lot of stuff just for my phone. And, you know, it's hard. It's really hard.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's worth it.
Well, that's it. I mean, you and when you have those moments or even a day when it's just sort of a down day, you still get back up in the morning and start over or keep going because you know that it is worth it. It really is.
Yeah.
So that's now, is there going to be a blood drive in Indonesia? I didn't understand with EPO.
No, not Indonesia. It's a little different.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, I know it's but it's a very big Muslim country. It has more Islamic people than anywhere
country.
Else. Yeah.
Yes. But as far as finding the right connection to that, maybe EPO can guide me to that. But I'm not really sure as far as how the blood drives, blood things get set up there. It's a little different from my understanding, from my wife.
Yeah.
But right now I'm starting with, you know, like I say, Uganda, and then hopefully some places in the U.S. will do some if I get the right connections, but we'll see what happens in Nigeria, too. That's another, you know, it's just connections, you know. Even the musicians that say that Nigeria makes a song, but maybe he knows someone who does can help me with blood drives. I mean, especially Africa. Talking to Farris Banks in Uganda, Africa is in need of blood so bad, very much so.
Yeah.
So that's what motivates him, too, because this is a way for him to help that situation that's going on there.
Right, right. I mean, there again, it's just a win-win. But now the first one you're doing here will be in Milwaukee, am I right?
Yes, it'll be here in Milwaukee. Yeah, I got to get that going. I just, like I said, my wife's situation and stuff like that. Once I get things in place, and then I don't want to just make it some small one. I want to make it, you know, where the music is being played and people are coming.
Right, right. There are some... like fraternal organizations that you might hook up with too. I don't know about this one particularly, but I'm thinking about like the Lions Club and different groups like that may have some ins on how to go about it, or they may join you in or something. I mean, it's definitely...
Yeah, I'm all about that too. Even blood drives. I like to join people's blood drives and, you know, like Miracle Comeback joins this one. This way I've always have a place because it's hard for me to find a place sometimes. At least they have one set, and maybe this will help theirs grow too or vice versa.
Exactly, exactly. I mean,
that way I could have more. That means I could have one a month, one every 2 months, easier that way.
Right, right. And, I mean, just collaboration and cooperation, working with other people. I think that's one of the messages of the times we're in right now. Instead of just trying to do everything on our own, joining up with other people, it's very important that it serves a lot of purposes. I mean, it gets the work done, and it reminds us that we're all connected. So, you know, whatever's going on in the world with the governments against the people, et cetera, the people need to know that we're the same and we're connected.
Yes.
So
anything. Rich or poor.
So anything that leads to that is really good. I wanted to ask Ipul what, I know he's still in school, what plans does he have down the road? Music and otherwise.
Yeah, well, that I'm just so inspired by all the things in the world, and it's really sad for me to see the tragedy between most things. And in music, I hope my music can really express what on my mind about it. We are Muslims, and we don't need to be destroyed. Or we are Muslim, and we are atheists, and we help each other. We are not what they think about us. So my purpose is just spread all my mind, to spread my messages to the world about that, and just not just Muslim. Humanity, sociality, and I hope my music can spread freedom to the world. And I really thank to Mr. Bilal for everything he did, for everything he gave me to support us and anything, because we really need your help to spread this.
Mm-hmm.
And also to Rashid Marshall, I hope that we meet and talk, and then one day we could be best friends. We could meet and tell each other about our personality and anything. So I hope it works best for Miracle Comeback, and I hope Bilal Marquis and Rashid Marquis and Vemily, his wife, what is it?
Yeah.
Really, really give, may Allah give rahmah, and may Allah bless you together. I'm sorry for my bad English, it is.
Well, I think that everything that you're doing to get the word out is really helping, and like you're talking about helping the family, I think that Bilal will admit to or just run with it that his family is closer than it was before the accident, and knowing that there's people around the world who are making music about it and everything is drawing your family closer together. Am I right?
Yes.
Yes.
A question. Just what do your kids think about this new baby on the way?
It's a. Cause we just brought it up basically because we took the test but I brought her to the clinic to make sure. So yeah, they're a little bit in shock, you know, because there's a big gap in age, you know, so it'll be a little different. It'd be...
So
they're not as excited as me yet because I'm the one that's, you know, that's always with her.
Right.
Ask about her every day and the baby, if it's a boy or girl. I said it's too early. Yeah. As time goes on and she starts to gain weight, I think, then they'll realize that, yeah, she is pregnant.
Yes, really, really. But she's so tiny. I've seen the pictures.
Yeah.
I haven't met her in person yet, but she. I saw pictures with your big son, and it's like, oh, my goodness. And, I mean, she is so little, so.
Yeah, she's 5'2". My mother's 5'5", and she makes my mother look tall, and she makes me feel tall. I'm 5'8 and a half, and I love that. She makes me feel 6 foot.
Yeah, the pictures of you together are really, really nice. I think that so much good has come. Not that you wouldn't have met her, but you might not have if this accident hadn't happened. It's just so much has come from it that is so good. And you just have, well, your story is a feel-good story. And,
yes.
I mean, it's true, and it was so scary at the time. I mean, when you were in the hospital with Rashid and he was being pumped full of blood that he kept losing, that's very, very scary. And then you find out, well, he's lost a kidney, part of his liver's gone, this and this and this, and it's like, my goodness. And you gave it all to Allah and said, whatever, but this is whatever now. So he's healthy and doing sports and all kinds of things. So it's just proof that...
He did a nice little thank you video. It was like a 30-second video I put on Facebook about 2 weeks ago, thanking Epol and Black Wolf, Alvis, Ferris, you know, for everything that they've done. So hopefully he'll start communicating with them soon and maybe come up with something big.
Yeah, well, it's, I mean, it's just good that he hasn't, you know, ignored everything that's being done in his name. And so, no, that was excellent. And now if he's going to do a song maybe in the studio with them, That will.
Oh yeah, that would be really big. I think that would help promote the book. That would help, you know, him realize, you know, all the people that are just gonna give him a big hug for doing something, you know, this big. I think, you know, kids are just crazy nowadays, and I think if I can get him, keep him on the right path, and keep him appreciate, you know, all the work that people have done, you know, and I just keep going forward and see what happens.
Yeah. Well, I wanted both of you, Bilal and Epol, to give contact information, if you would now, please.
Yes. Mine is, as far as, like, the website, you mean, or email?
Mm-hmm. Oh, website.
Okay.
Yeah.
My email address is Bilal Marcus, BILALMARKIS. @yahoo.com, Bilal Marcus @yahoo.com. And my website is www.miraclecomeback.com. One word, M-I-R-A. I don't even want to spell it because there's so many. I don't want to make a mistake. But it's miraclecomeback.com. And Epol, pass on your information.
Oh, yeah. For my contact, you can contact me on Facebook, Epol Al-Haris. IPOELALHARITS, just like a week. And my email is epol.rahman@email.com. IPOEL.ROHMAN@YMAIL.com. And you can send any message to my email or my Facebook. And the Ziad Nasheed also. The Ziad Nasheed, you can find in Facebook. And our page also, the Ziad Nasheed.
Okay. Thank you both. And we'll get those up on the Era Marte Fio Facebook page for you also.
Yeah.
So I want to thank you both. Thank you, Epol, for coming in and bearing with Skype, and Bilal for calling. And we're going to fade out this segment with the song in the Indonesian dialect. Now, it's what Kakafan Harapan? How do you say this?
kekuatan harapan.
Okay. So this again is Dizayed Nasheed, sorry. And
Dizayed Nasheed.
Ziyad Nasheed. And they are in Indonesia, acapella, amazing. Thank you, Ipol, and please thank the other guys. And thank you, Philo, as always, and congratulations.
Thank you.
Here we go.
Puji bagi Allah yang telah memberikan kesempatan kedua untuk terus bertahan setelah semua.
Thank you, Ipol, and thank you, Bilal. Now Sarit Jacobson is going to join us. We're going to get a little bit of her music. Shame on you, Israel. Hello, Sarit. We haven't been on for a few weeks. It's good to have you back. You hear my cat in the...
Oh, is that a cat?
She wants to say hi. I guess she knows about all your dogs, and she wants you to think about kitties, too.
Oh, yeah.
So what has been going on?
Oh, it's such a mess.
All this time.
Not getting any better.
Well, I saw that several young men were arrested in the West Bank, believe it was today, and then in Gaza, a Palestinian was attacked by the occupation forces.
Yes. And the Israelis are not even aware of that happening.
Yeah.
Don't even, I mean, I'm not talking about everyone. There's some great people there, but just like the average temperature of their social networking, looking at their main groups and stuff, they're talking about economic injustice, but they're too racist to think of a one-state solution. And many think of a one-state solution. There's just not enough of them to create a change.
Yeah, it seems like they're ramping up. I just saw that there's some talk about, 2,400 more settlements?
There's so many, and they're not going to really give us the numbers. Many of them are illegal, so even IDF says to not build them, and they get built anyway, and they fight with the army too, or pretend to, but then somebody's photographer finds out they're actually living with the soldiers, you know, sneaking.
Right. Well, right. I mean, they would give voice to, oh, this is bad, it's illegal. But when it comes down to it, if they've already built, they aren't going to tear down the Zionist settlements like they do the better ones. You know, it's the better ones are totally legal, and they just are uprooting 40,000 of them. So it seems like there's more activity. We know that people are paid to troll and hack. For the Zionists, and then one of the groups actually that you and I both were on just went through that, so now we have a new group. They came in and threw all of us administrators off and started posting pro-Zionist stuff. It's everywhere. We really have to be on the alert.
We have a real problem with Gaza City. It's a whole media blackout in the USA about what is happening in Gaza. I see they were just being bombed the other day.
Yeah. God. Yeah. And there's not been power?
No power, no water, and no fuel for the sewage system. I wish I could speak better English. So there's no fuel for the sewage system, and whole streets are just sewage.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, we know we just don't expect any kind of truth from American mass media, and it's pretty much the same in most other countries, I think. So we're finding this out from people there.
Yes, and my friends in Scandinavia, like Sweden, Finland, they talk about it constantly on their mainstream media, and I talk to those friends who talk to me.
Yeah. So it's we have to keep getting this word out, because people, no matter how good intentioned they are, like in the U.S. and some other countries that are watching Well, just what's on their local TV, they aren't getting any of this.
That's right.
The other day, and I didn't have time to go into it, and it was at a wedding reception, so I didn't want to make waves either. I had just officiated at a wedding for a friend and her husband, and afterwards, somebody was asking me about the ceremony, and we were talking about the show we do, and I was talking about the, being pro-Palestinian, and someone across the table from me gave me one of those looks. And
I know what you're saying.
Said, so you're pro-Palestinian, and I said most definitely. And I didn't want to get into a big thing, but I mean that was the first time lately that I'd gotten the look in person, and so I thought, man, we've got so much to do.
They have a bad stereotype of what Palestinians are.
Right. I mean, you could almost see the word terrorist going up, flashing around her head. And, because right up until that time, she'd been just lovely. And, like I said, we were at a wedding reception. It was all nice and everything. But when I say pro-Palestinian, she just, you could.
Oh, yeah, I get this look from my best childhood friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, wow. So
tell me that what I know is wrong.
Yeah.
And they believe what their mom and dad and uncle tell them.
Right. Because and those people actually they believe that what they're telling your friend, they believe that it's right what they're saying, because the propaganda is so good.
It's excellent. It's not like Fox News that offends your intelligence. It actually makes you have to do research.
Yeah.
But it's so easy for me to do the research because I know people in every city in that country.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, you can find it out. And if people now with things online being as they are, I mean, I know some things are taken off, but, there's a lot of true information, but you do have to research and find some newspapers and find some people. People are telling the truth. The
Gaza Youth Breaks Out on Facebook, and they have a website, Gaza Youth Breaks Out. They're not affiliated with any political organization. They're just the youth of Gaza. They have great posts.
Yeah, and some of it breaks your heart.
It does. It really will break the heart. But it's better to share than get active.
Definitely. I don't have much. I shouldn't say much use, but I do get upset when people tell me, "Oh, I saw such and such that you posted," and I don't. I mean, that's horrible. But I'm trying to ignore that. I don't want to deal with that. And that's when I want to slap them.
Tell them to write to their legislators. Just do something.
Yeah,
whatever.
Do something. You don't. We're
something.
Not.
Stop.
Yeah.
The reason they're not killing all the Palestinians is because of the activists all around the world.
Exactly. Because otherwise, the genocide would be complete. I believe that. Yes.
There's a big fraction of Israeli society that doesn't really want them around, doesn't really want to kill them. Like, they won't say it, but they don't want them.
They don't want them, and so whatever it would take, they would be willing to do, whether it means literally running people into the sea or...
Yeah, the educated people believe the propaganda.
Mm-hmm. Or droning them or whatever, they would be quite willing to do that. Which
so,
is very sad.
Yeah. There is Israeli kids in the Army Museum, and one of the guys was interviewing the kids and asked them what they imagine when they're on the tank, and the kid said, "I imagine I'm shooting Palestinians or Arabs. He calls them Arabs or terrorists. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Arab terrorists. Yeah.
Always called terrorists.
Yeah. Yeah.
To scare them. And you know what they do to scare them in Israel? They make like drills to go in the bomb shelter at school all the time.
See, right? Because that works on their mind. Of course, that psychological.
Forget when I was six, they did it in my school, and I thought it was for real.
Sure.
Because I didn't know the difference. I hardly spoke Hebrew. I spoke just English then. So it was really scary. I still didn't fall for it.
Right, but you can see how, well, because your parents were more open. I mean, you'd been raised to think for yourself.
I can see good and bad in all people. That's my, yeah.
Yeah, right, because, well, you know, because we like to think that we're good, and when we get to the point of recognizing that we're all interconnected, we are these people. We're not just the Palestinians, but we're also the Israelis, and we are all connected. So, you know, humankind really needs to get its collective head out of its ass and get with the program, because every time...
Yes.
You know, that we harm one person or one living being, we're harming all of us.
Yeah, it will come back.
Yeah, yeah.
Putting injustice around like that is not good for anyone.
No.
Also, in my inbox today, I had a little message from my friend in Palestine. They were blocking the city of Hebron because settlers wanted to go pray in some church. They thought it was some holy spot, and some kids probably started a little riot. So this was tear gas all over the city. My friend's uncle's house, the tear gas even got in his house.
I read that. Actually,
yes.
I shared that too.
What insane life. If that happened to me, I'd be so sick right now.
Yeah.
Tear gas is so deadly, and it can make pregnant women abort their babies. It's serious stuff.
It's serious stuff. I mean, because, you know, people who haven't experienced it or haven't, you know, really researched it or talked to somebody who got very ill from it, they just think, oh, well, tear gas, you know, it makes you stop what you're doing and you tear up and blah, blah, and in a couple minutes you're fine. It doesn't work like that.
Oh, no, it takes a couple of days to get over it. The Israeli activists that get tear gas, one of them I remember got pneumonia from it, and he was very ill. We were all worried about him.
Yeah, yeah. If your immune system is compromised at all, and let's face it, most of Palestinians are, it's going to affect you even worse than somebody who's all healthy and everything. But you... Well, sure. I mean, and a lot of the Israelis, I would say, especially the activists, their immune systems are probably compromised too, because they've been, like we know, I mean, some of them are beat up on, they lose their jobs, they may not have all the proper food they need, so their systems aren't as strong as they were. So, you know, I mean, there's a lot of repercussions to it. It's not just, oh, well, yeah, they got tear gas and everything's okay. It's not okay.
Well, they're under martial law on a regular basis, and if they leave their home, they can get shot or beat up.
Yeah, could you imagine? Just, there was somebody I read the other day who was, like, she was afraid. I think her husband had left the home, and they got him, and she was still like connected to the internet or the phone or something, and she was, you know, saying that she was afraid to come out. I can't imagine living like that, Sarit.
Me neither. It's so scary just to hear about it.
Yeah, and you know, like the people you know. Because you know several that have been beat up on and gone through all this, and they keep doing it. I mean, we're talking about Israeli activists who just keep on because they know the truth, and they're determined to do everything they can, so they're putting their lives on the line.
Yeah, there's a great group called Anarchists Against the Wall. They started the protest against the wall and everything. Mostly, some of them are even still in high school. And most people have a wrong idea of what anarchy is, but it just means that they don't have a leader and everything is by consensus.
Right. I mean, it's not, there again, it doesn't mean that they're terrorists, because a lot of people equate the words anarchist with terrorism, and that's not necessarily it. They aren't for governments as such. Because
no, they're actually for true democracy. Because when we have leaders, it's the leader's will. But when you have anarchy, it's and everything goes by consensus, that's really true more democratic.
Right, right. So you're not feeding into and being a slave to some government that doesn't give a flying fuck about you.
Yeah, and they've been really demonized in the Israeli media, the anarchists against
sure.
the wall. They're great. They're sure. the amazing people.
So, I mean, whatever it is, whether it's sending energy, whether it's sending prayers, whether it's actually sending money, if you know someone, really know someone there, whatever, we need to support these groups, like Gaza Youth Breaks Out, Anarchists Against the Wall, people who are really, really laying down for truth and freedom for us all.
Yes, so, and they're really paying hard prices with jobs.
Yes,
it's very hard
yeah.
to find jobs. It's they get a lot of death threats.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Nasty
and,
death threats or graffiti in their front door. But Salem
yeah.
people had death threats like on the wall of their house.
That would really, really be scary. Because and we know that a lot of these people who talk that or write that are just cowards anyway. But, I mean, all it takes
Oh, one
is,
of the girls from Anarchist Against the Wall, when she came home from a demonstration, they broke their water pipes.
See?
And building.
I mean, that's just yeah, cruel and mean, and they'll get. However, I mean, what a thing to do.
I know it's insane. And her one of her neighbors fixed it for her for free because he liked what she was doing.
Right,
so
right.
Ended up
so
being
so,
an act of kindness too.
Exactly,
right.
An act of kindness, and he was just showing support. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
and
he
it,
was
well,
so it was
yeah.
all good in the end. But yeah, it's
right.
really
it
hard to
happened.
Be an activist. Those people are special people. They care. A lot of them, I notice, are grandchildren of or children of Holocaust survivors.
Ah, okay.
Remember what the stories they would hear from their grandma, and now
right.
the stories sound in the same spirit, and it's really giving us most horrific memories.
Yeah, like because it's all like coming back around. The people who were prosecuted during the German Holocaust, they not necessarily they themselves, but their so-called people, the Zionists, are doing the same thing. And so, yeah.
To them, they're not doing the same thing. They're doing something horrible, but it's not the same. But I think if you're the victim, it's all the same.
Right. Concentration camps are concentration camps. And
for the oppressed, of course, they don't want to admit how bad they are.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, we don't know the whole stories of what happens in the Israeli jails. I mean, the Palestinian children, when they come out, they have stories. And
I have a story of what happens to them there.
Yeah.
Systems of torture is to make, I wish I never heard that, is to make them drink very hot fluids.
It is,
so
yeah. Just,
I'm haunted by knowing that.
Yeah, because we know what it's like to, drink something hot and burn your mouth? I mean, like if you taste some tea or coffee that's too hot, or if you're doing hot cocoa, you know, you and I would make it with soy milk or almond milk or something. But it's if it has the sugar, it burns you more because it sticks on your tongue, like the milk and sugar. And, yeah, things like that, I mean, they're just really cruel, coming up with all kinds of strange and unusual punishments.
Oh, they're so strange and so unusual. All you can hear all about them in Breaking the Silence.
And you might want to remind our listeners of what Breaking the Silence is.
Oh, yeah, it's the best organization of veterans. It's like Israeli Veterans for Peace, only they are speaking about all the war crimes that they did. While they do it, many of them are crying. They're upset. They wish they never did it. They say they were dumb children and naive and breaking the silence.
It's heartbreaking. There's so much to do with this proposed genocide that the Zionists want against the Palestinians that it just breaks you up, whether you talk with the people on either side, like this, the veterans who are saying, oh, I believed it, I did it, I'm horrified that I did it, I'm so sorry. And then you talk with, like, the Gaza youth breaks out, and they're telling what's going on. I mean, so there's a lot of hope here, but there's a lot of just heartbreak.
It's a big fight. Sometimes you go in the Israeli groups and they are fighting like insane fights. And each like fight can go into 500 comments. And there's like 10 people all fighting. It's really
with each other over, I mean...
over Palestine.
Okay,
and the problem with the fights is that I think they get the facts wrong and they think I have the facts wrong.
Yeah.
They call Breaking the Silence traitors and use really violent language towards them that I could probably report that to Facebook. I don't think people are even supposed to talk that way.
Wow, yeah.
Abusive language. It was just every day. I just keep an eye on things. I learn a lot by watching people argue.
Oh, sure.
Luckily, we have a few scholars in the group that have taken over a bit in the arguments, and it's really hard to beat a scholar. And all the scholars are lefties, extreme lefties.
Right.
What a coincidence.
Yeah. Not a surprise for those of us who are extreme lefties, but other people might find that surprising. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of the scholars are activists. There's some scholars I really, really appreciate. They're great activists. They write blogs and they help lead the little great movements.
Well, but isn't that the way it's always been? Once the intellectuals, the scholars, the people that care, once they find out, they can't turn their back anymore. They can't be in denial. Once you know the truth, you have to do your best to do something about it.
Oh yeah.
So that's what they're doing. No, it's like hats off to them. Bravo. I mean, we need more to just step forward and say, okay.
It's also harder to make them into criminals. Society respects them.
Right.
They're stereotyped well.
Right.
So,
it's not somebody that they might just think is, you know, somebody who hasn't really thought things through, hasn't really studied it, is just mouthing what, you know, the media or other ignorant people tell them. But then when you get the scholars in, it's like, wow, you know, they look around the sides. Yeah.
Another sad report from Palestine. To me, it's extremely sad. because a woman was sexually harassed, and she probably told the soldier he was rude, and they beat her up.
I saw that. I saw that. I saw the picture of her on the ground.
And I know she's speaking the truth because I know, because the same thing has happened to me.
Right. But I mean, you know that she's not lying. I mean, she asked him not to touch her, and she finally ended up, I read the true story was that she finally slapped one of them.
I know.
That's when they called the others over, and that's when they really beat her up. It's like there's no excuse for that. None.
They'll be haunted by this, too, for the rest of their lives, I hope. How stupid they were.
I hope so. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
But she will be, too. That's the sad part. Because she was just trying to, you know, evidently they started out, a couple of them trying to flirt with her, and she didn't want that. And then somebody tried to touch her, and she didn't want that. And they kept on, and that's when she slapped them. And
who knows how many girls they did it to that day.
Exactly. That's the whole thing. When this is, there again, that old thing about the tip of the iceberg. But that's
yes.
it, because women don't want to report this. And if there's not somebody there, somebody else to report it, it will go unreported.
It's so sad. It reminds me of growing up in Israel, the men, many men were like that, and others were not, but the ones who are bad make it bad for everyone. It's hard being a woman there.
Exactly. But that's it. I mean, no matter, I mean, you've got a lot of good, decent men, but... The other are the ones that just make you fearful to walk down the street.
Yeah,
like,
even other men were scared of them in my school, the bad guys.
Yeah, see? It should never be like...
We had real bullies, and I feel sorry for the Palestinian people when those bullies go to IDF, which they already been to IDF.
Because everybody has to. I mean, unless you know, we have several who have... chosen to go to jail instead, but
bullies love armies.
Oh, exactly. They love the armies, and they love working in prisons.
Oh yeah, they love it. They're attracted to it, like flies.
Just whatever. That's why the psychological tests they have are not as good as they should be, because we should never let bullies like that in any kind of position where they have a copy of like a prison or the concentration camp of Gaza or West Bank. They should never be able to deal with the people. But Sarit, our time is just about up. I want to thank you again.
Thank you, and try to stay warm, everyone.
Exactly. Oh, this weekend in Illinois it's supposed to get up to like 60 again. So
yeah, it'll be lovely again. It's so cold.
Okay. Well, we'll see you next week.
See you next week. Take care, sweetheart.
You too.
And bye-bye.
You guys stay warm down there. Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.